Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Ambrose, and the scripture reading is taken from Romans chapter 8. Verses 31 to 39, which says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely gave us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also then, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers from things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." God bless our soul.
What do you guys remember? All right, we're getting ready to remind you of a whole lot of things. Listen to this, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 11. "Put on the full armor of God, so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the partial armor of God," right? Full armor, so you can't forget the pieces, right? Can't pick and choose. It all works together. If you forget one, like, I really like the first week, Pastor Ellis. Not really big on this righteousness piece, God, so I'm gonna take that away. All of it, full armor, and it's God's armor. It's not our armor, it's God's armor. We're putting on his armor so that when the day of evil comes, and we know that those days do come, can I get an amen? You may be able to sit on the ground. Stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of false truths. Belt of lies? No, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We're going to spend time here today. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith next week, in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation in 2 weeks and the sword of the Spirit in 3, which is the word of God. And pray for the Spirit on all occasions in 4 weeks with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, church, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Father, as we try to be obedient in all these things, Father, I ask that you would help us to hear and understand and to be able to walk in wisdom. Father, I pray that No matter how many church services we've attended, whether this is our first or our 10,000th, Lord, we just want to say, would you speak clearly to us today? Father, I pray that today would be a day that you would help strengthen us. Father, we want there to be a pleasant aroma on us so that when people are looking for truth and they're looking for hope and they're looking for love, that we're the first people that they think of. Father, I pray that we have that a fragrance of Christ on us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I need to review. All right. Evil is multidimensional. It comes at us from all kinds of angles. Evil comes from between our ears. Like, if you have not just recorded in the last week the things that you thought of, you would probably agree with me that evil can come even just in our mind. Like, what we think, what we say to ourselves, what we say to ourselves about other people, what we say to ourselves about people in the world. If you could just record the conversations you have just with yourself, we would understand that evil can be multidimensional. Evil can come like innocent children on the streets of our city that are hit by a stray bullet. Evil can come by just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Evil can come in so many. The earth is groaning because of the ways in which sin has so entered in. It comes from every angle. And if you and I do not put on the armor of God daily, we are going to not stand. We're going to be impacted. We're going to have a situation where God is going to want us to be ready to do something, and we're going to be ill-prepared to do it because you and I need the armor of God to obey orders. Putting on the armor of God is putting on his armor. It's not our armor. You and I can do all that we can. We talked about righteousness last week, and self-righteousness will get you nowhere in a spiritual fight. We need to have integrity. We need to be people that are people of our word and people that we can be trusted. But you and I, up against the evil forces that are at work in this world, you throw your reputation into the fight against the number one prosecutor in the world, which is the evil one, you will be defeated. And so we get to hide behind the righteousness of Christ. So when every morning we can put on the breastplate of Jesus Christ and we can stand. We also understand, as Paul said in Romans 8:8, I consider that our present sufferings are worth nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. What Paul is saying is that you and I, with a right understanding, like the full armor of God and prayer included in that, you and I can stand against anything that's happening in this world because we know who we're trusting in. And so the problem is that we get into an armament issue like we're going to talk about today, this gospel of peace, and you and I begin to unravel because we find that we're trusting in other things, not trusting in him, and therefore things that we want to be revealed haven't been revealed yet, so we start to say, God, what's up? And sometimes we even speak that a little worse than that. The belt of truth is the foundation for everything. You can't carry the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. You can't put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. You can't carry the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation and prayer unless you understand the basic truth that it is all God and God every day and it's his great love for us. And if we have any other variation of that, all the rest of the armament is just going to fall apart. And so with that, you and I need to understand that each piece, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, all of that is specific truths. So in the morning, imagine you're getting dressed and every piece that you decide to put on that day, remember you have to have it all on for it to work, but the pieces you're choosing to put on, and hopefully all of it, is a systematic way of you reminding yourselves of everything you need in your spiritual life, not to just live, but to thrive. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today as well. The issue is God has given us all sorts of things that we just aren't using. And then we look at the condition of ourselves. How much of what you and I are going through is unnecessary? How much suffering are you and I experiencing in our own selves that could have been avoided if you and I had learned to put on the armor of God every day? And so with that, I want to step into this, and I want to start by saying the prayer that's in our app, and I'm just going to do the part leading up to today. So just, you can pray along with me, or you can just watch me pray. I'm not performing, I'm actually praying. But Lord Jesus Christ, I put on the shoes of peace. I choose to stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the good news of his amazing grace. In Jesus' name, I claim over my heart and mind the peace of God that transcends all understanding. I cast down every anxious thought today so that as I walk in the gospel of peace, I may pray that you would make me ready to share your good news with others. So, Father, right now I ask that you help me to make this clear. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what does it mean to be ready with the gospel of peace? Can I tell you the basic ready of all of this? This will probably be the hardest thing I'll say all morning. We are all angry with God. Some of you are like, no, I'm not. Well, yes, you are. We all in this room are struggling in some ways towards some sort of animosity towards God. You have parent issues? Most of you are angry with your parents. You're really not angry with your parents because God gave you your parents. So ultimately, if you're angry at the parents that brought you up, then you're obviously angry at God because he's the one that chose the parents. Are you angry that you're sick? God made you sick, right? Maybe. Like, you're struggling through the illnesses that you're facing. Some of you want to be 3 inches taller. You stand in the mirror and you're like, God, if you'd have just made me 3 inches, if I looked like Matthew McConaughey, Lord, right? Or Gal Gadot, or whatever it is that you're trying to want to be when you grow up. Like, God, if I could just be faster, if I was just better at math, if I just had more confidence. There's so many ways in which you and I mask our anger at God, because to say you're angry at God, especially in church, is something that's like a taboo. Like, people on the streets will tell you all day long about some type of anger or animosity you have towards God or the church or whatever. But to speak of it in here, this is part of the reason why some of us have stunted our growth in Christ in general, is because there's something that you wish God would have done that he hasn't done, and you're carrying it. The gospel of peace. Adam and Eve didn't struggle with parent issues. They didn't struggle with wanting to be taller or looking like Matthew McConaughey. They didn't want to be better at math. They didn't struggle. And the evil one had enough whisper in their ear to make them think God was holding out on them. So what makes you think that the evil one in this world right now doesn't have enough resources and material to come at you and make you upset with God? There's so many ways in which we have lived and moved in our days, and we've struggled to want to have some sort of peace, and we haven't. So if we're going to walk, and we want to understand what it looks like to put on the sandals of peace, the shoes of peace, like the verse actually says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The actual intent of the verse is the word readiness and not the footwear. You and I need to be ready. Readiness of the gospel of peace. The shoes make us ready. The shoes make us ready, right? Yeah. So you have good grip, right? You got to have good traction on a good pair of shoes. Got to have, like, depending on the athlete, like, you guys know the Roman soldiers were like the first Nike inventors? Like, they were the ones that put traction in their sandals. They would actually figure out a way of putting spikes in their sandals. So, because as a good soldier, if you started to slip, you had no grip, and you're not gonna get wounded on the battlefield. You're gonna die on the battlefield. So they had grip to their shoes. They had a toughness, because part of the warfare of that day was when an army was walking up, they would bury spikes underneath leaves and in the mud, so when the soldiers walked over top of it, they wouldn't die from the injuries, but they would be significantly impaired upon continuing to wage war, because your feet are not designed to have nails. If any of you ever stepped on a nail, oh my goodness, talking about a dance. It hurts. Like, there's nerve endings in your feet. That's crazy. I remember as a kid doing that and looking down and seeing the nail through the top of my foot. And I looked at my mom and I looked at my foot and I'm like, oh, and I started screaming. I mean, that's traumatic. I can still feel it right now thinking about it. But the Roman soldiers' shoes were designed so that they could step on sharp objects and it not fully penetrate into their foot, so they could still be there. And they had to be light and mobile. right? They had to be able to move because nothing's worse than seeing a monstrosity of a man come up to wage battle against you, but then you have no mobility, no agility. And so this is designed to give us this gospel. If we understand the peace that's supposed to come from the gospel to us, you and I are going to be mobile and ready. We're going to have the agility on the fly to make decisions. So there's three ways. Now, mind you, we have the rest of the year going through Ephesians. We're going to talk about all three of these areas. So I'm going to touch on three throughout the morning, but we're going to need to spend more time on each of these. But this gospel of peace is meant to bring peace between you and you. I would say us and us. Because the battle that's waging on inside of us needs peace. This battle, this gospel, this good news, this gospel of peace is to bring peace between us and God. Why? Because we're angry at him. It's also designed to bring peace between each other, between us and you, like together. Like, it's hard for us to say I'm right with God, but to have people that we want God to strike with lightning. We're not meant to do that. So this past week, there was this huge sports thing going on. I don't know if you guys caught it, where Tom Brady made a comment about Lamar Jackson, and he called him the what? The eraser. So Tom Brady, one of the most immobile quarterbacks ever to play, had like all these Super Bowl rings, what, like seven? And if he wasn't playing Eli Manning, he would have had at least two more. Like all of these things, like Tom Brady, the GOAT, could stand in the pocket and hit receivers running down the field like crazy. And so now he's a commentator making millions to talk about the people that are playing the game. And he decided to highlight Lamar Jackson, and he nicknamed him now the Eraser. What that means is that when a play is going sideways, like my earpiece, he can adjust. So it doesn't matter what play the offensive coordinator is called. It doesn't matter what play he called at the line, because when he drops back, if things are in disarray, he can erase it. Because he's got agility. He's got a foot contract. He's got speed. Lamar Jackson defies gravity. Have you ever tried to move like Lamar Jackson? Gravity has a hold on my body. It's like, how does he? It's like Michael Jordan. Like, Michael Jordan could jump, and there could be a person in front of him, and it's like he, in the air, could go around them, and it's like, that's gravity. Like, Larry Bird never did that. Larry Bird, when he jumped, there was occasionally air between his Converse and the basketball court. Michael Jordan could jump over Larry Bird and spin around and go around the basket and back to the basket, and it was like there was this gravity-defying athleticism. I want you guys to understand that when Paul is saying that you and I have to be ready, and what makes us ready is the peace that comes to us through the gospel, he's saying that you and I get spiritual athleticism through how you and I apply the gospel to ourselves. The gospel, a lot of times we only hear about it as once. Do you believe the gospel? Turn from your sins, put your trust in Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and then you pray a prayer, get baptized, and off you go. And many times we don't ever think about the gospel application to our life ever again. Paul says, no. Think about it every morning when you're getting dressed. Because if you and I, when we're putting our shoes on in the morning, are sitting there saying, how do I apply the gospel to my life today? You and I have a fighting chance. We're going to be agile. We're going to be ready to move when the evil one comes at us. When circumstances arise in our life and we have no idea that they're coming that day, the people that can maintain their faith, their hope, their joy, their love are able to do that because in a moment they can remember the great love of God displayed through Jesus Christ in their life. And so Paul is saying that you and I have to defy gravity. So the joy is the way a believer defies gravity. And listen to what Miss Rose read to us in Romans 8. Because such an awareness of the weight of the glory of God is what Paul is talking about in Romans 8. If we were to summarize the entire chapter, talking about the troubles in the world and the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, it's one of the most powerful theological chapters in all the Bible. And he's saying, if you truly understand the weight of God's glory, all the troubles, the guilt, the duty, the way the earth is groaning, all of that, it is no match for the weight and the glory of God. So listen to what he says here in a big shout. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? And then he goes on to say, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also among him graciously give us all things? He goes on, who shall separate us from the love of God? For I am convinced neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present or the future, any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else will be able to separate me from the love of God. Like, that's what Paul is saying. Paul is like, or Steph Curry, baby. Not LeBron. Steph. Olympic gold medal. Put the crowd to sleep, baby. This is what Paul was doing at the end of Romans 8. He's running around saying, listen, I'm putting all of it to sleep because in Jesus Christ, it has nothing on us. So how could he maintain joy when I've read to you over the last couple of weeks that Paul says, no matter what trouble I've suffered, the man that's been shipwrecked, beaten at least 3 times to within an inch of his life, he has been flogged more times than you and I could count, probably could not stand up straight because of the physical abuse, and he's saying, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I am convinced nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God. And he had a testimony that everybody tried. And he's like, in Jesus Christ, he's going to put everybody to sleep. And so here's what happens when Paul is shouting. I consider that our present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. All of it. Do you want to have a joy that's like a celebration penalty in the end zone? Did you guys see in the Dallas Giants game? I don't remember which wide receiver ran into the end zone and threw the football towards the defender as a way of like, yeah, you can't catch me. And what did the official do? Threw a flag, unnecessary celebration, all this kind of stuff. Like last night, the Georgia-Alabama game. I don't know if any of you guys watched any of that. I mean, it's like, it was crazy. But at halftime, several of the Alabama players were flagged for unnecessary taunting. And basically what they were saying is 28-0 is a butt whooping. And they're walking off the field bragging. And let me just tell you this, brothers and sisters, how often into your faith do you feel like the evil one wants to throw an unnecessary celebration flag at you? Like, we have the ability to have joy in our suffering. We have the ability to feel like we're winning even though we're losing. But so many times, you and I live our entire life, and we live totally defeated, but yet we believe that Jesus was God with us, come to forgive us of our sins so that we could stand with him, and yet we don't remember it every single day of our life. And we get more and more and more defeated because what we're doing is we like hold on to truth. We want to stand with Christ's righteousness, but when it comes to putting on our shoes every day, we never tell ourselves the gospel is for me still. There is a peace that comes when you and I are ready. The gospel of peace is that the Father loves us. We're ready. We're not slow. We're not clumsy. We're agile. Because this gospel is for us, because I truly believe every single one of us at times is upset with God. Because even the Bible says that there's an enemy, like we're enemies of God. Not because of his choice, but because of in us. We've been constantly wanting to be at war with God in our flesh. So many times our hearts, our natural hearts are against him. So often what ends up happening is you're so sure of what you need. Think about it. You and I are so confident in what we need. We are so spiritually sure of what we need. I love what Tim Keller actually says. He says, the only difference between people of high self-esteem and low self-esteem is that those with high self-esteem know what they need and they get it, and those with low self-esteem know what they need and they're not getting it. And so many times what ends up happening is it's God's fault. We think, I am confident to know what makes me happy, but I'm not happy. Because I know what's going to make me happy, and I don't have it. And the gospel of peace to you is that you are not a good master of yourself. The Bible repeatedly talks about how you and I want to be our own masters. We've been at war with God. We want all the blessings of God, but we want to have total say in everything that goes on in our own lives. We want to be our own masters. And until you and I uproot that part of our life, that's, I want God to master my life rather than me being the master of my life, you and I are going to struggle, because the armor doesn't work if the gospel isn't applied to our own life. And the gospel is the news that you and I have a new master. When you and I confess our sins and that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that means we get the righteousness of Christ. And with that, we get our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that has the right to say, I need you to obey, and we're meant to obey. Somebody else is in charge. We are not in charge. And the fundamental issue of why we don't put our shoes on, we don't sandal up, we're not agile in our faith, is because we are not applying the gospel to ourselves. We all want control of our lives, and the day you and I realize that we don't have control, we get mad. When we do not have control, so whether it's parents, some people have struggled in human history with ethnicity battles and skin color, and other people have struggled with education and gender. And like, it's like, so was God wrong in making us who we are? Or is there something broken in how we view ourselves? Because if we're upset with the country we were born into, or the skin we were born into, or the gender we were born into, it's God's fault. At some point, we need to realize it. I love National Geographic shows or all the major spinoffs. I love the animal attack shows. I don't know what that says about me, but that's for another day. But in the wild, it never goes well, no matter what species is in the episode, for something to come between a mama and her cub, or a mother hen and the chick of whatever, like even a whale. Like, you don't want to go after a whale that has a baby that's swimming around it, because they can do some serious damage with their tails. Just ask some great whites, you know, what it feels like to get hit by a tail of a whale. So no matter what species you're watching, take a bear, for instance. So often those are the ones that get televised, where somebody just happens to find their way in between a mama bear and a baby bear. And mama bear goes mama bear, and that's why we call the phrase, oh man, she just went mama bear. Like, I remember as a kid, my brother and I were playing on Old Soper Road in Camp Springs, Maryland. And we were engaged in a football game with some older neighbors, and we were winning. And they didn't like it, and they sicked a dog on us. And my mom was watching from the window of the house, and I remember my mom ran out of the house, uprooted a horseshoe steak out of the ground in full sprint and chased the dog down the street. My dad, later on, came home from work, tried to pull the other one up himself, and he was like, man, like, mama bear? Seriously, can I tell you what, guys? When God gets between you and what you want, it doesn't matter that it's God. When you and I have something, in our wisdom, we think we got to have it. In our wisdom, in our sight, in our humanity, the master of myself, and we realize that what's standing between what I want and what God wants is God himself, you and I need to learn to preach the gospel to ourselves. The shoes of peace is when you and I realize that either we are angry with God or we're one step away from becoming angry with God this day. One more quick illustration. It's always dangerous as a pastor to talk about your children on the stage, so I'm not going to name any of them. I'm just going to tell you what we went through. You pick. And so when we first moved into the city, we had just had a little bit of urban experience in Manhattan before we moved here, which was great. Because if you have not been exposed to a city and you can live in Manhattan for a short period of time, that's like, you know, jumping into the deep end of the pool. But when we moved here, you know, our kids were at the age that they wanted to rollerblade and use this razor scooters before. I mean, this was back before everybody had a motorized scooter. Like, it's our kids actually had to use a foot to make it move, you know? And so razors, rollerblades, bikes, what we did was is we went to the sidewalk, and my wife and I just taught them, when we yell stop, you stop. And we just practiced. Sometimes it was at the edge of the block. Sometimes it was in the middle of the block. But when we yelled stop, they had to stop. It wasn't a, why do I need to stop? Because we needed them to know that there were things that we could see that they couldn't see. And if they didn't listen to our voice without understanding why, somebody could get hurt. And the issue for us is, like children, many times God says something to us and we don't listen. And then we wonder why there's so much hurt and pain in our life. Because the issue for why the gospel needs to be preached to us on a regular basis is that God has a perception much bigger and broader than ours. But we think that dad's holding out on us. Or we think, I don't have to trust that voice because I can trust myself better than him. And what ends up happening is that we see that we really still struggle with just wanting to be in control of our own life. If there is a God, let me ask you this. If there is a God, doesn't it automatically make sense that he knows more than we do? Like, just think about it rationally. Like, if he really is the creator of all things, he spoke the world into existence, he created you and I, he did all of the things with gravity and this universe and the tides and the oceans and all. Like, he intricately made us the way that it is. Would you think that you have the capability of being smarter than him? Like, that's foolishness. But so many times we realize that God is the one standing between what we want and where we think we need to go, and we get upset at him. So what does the gospel do? When you and I put our shoes of peace on every single day and remind ourselves of the gospel, it changes the premise of our thinking. It changes the perspective from which we step into our day. When you and I put on the shoes of peace that comes from the gospel. In the gospel, God is saying, don't you see what I've done for you? Every morning, it's a, man, remember what my father did for me? Remember how much great love God had for me? Man, he came as Jesus. Like, he bled and died. Like, just remind yourself as much as you can remember of how much God has done for you, how he's proven his love, how he's displayed his love and wisdom. He's wiser and more loving than you and I can imagine. And so every morning, you and I have a choice. Either he is right, or we say, no, you're not, and we're doomed. So the gospel is us saying, yes, you're right, or no, I want what I want, and I'm going to deal with the ramifications of it. Because when we are in control, we are sinful. When God is in control, we're loving and kind and gentle and compassionate. So we take the gospel and we use it every single day. The gospel brings peace between people. In Adam and Eve's original sin, they believed God was holding out on them because of the whisper, but he wasn't. So they developed a contentment against God. So what ended up happening was is that they realized they were naked and ashamed because between people, they were meant to be authentic and be like nothing's hidden. Like, we're meant to be in a true relationship with each other. But when they started to think God was holding out on them, they then transfer that to each other. Then what are you keeping from me? And the relationship has gotten broken. So when you and I come to the gospel, you and I can begin to see that the gospel begins to reestablish the broken limitations for human relationship. You and I can be right with one another. You and I can walk in love in the proper relationship with each other. And it's so much so when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he actually said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the gospel lived out in our life is one of forgiveness and repentance in a way that people can be right with each other. And the more you and I know about the way God accepts and loves you, and that God doesn't reject you, and that God doesn't hate you, the more you're going to learn to love, and the more you are going to learn to accept people and not hate them and reject them. So every morning, you and I, as we're putting on the gospel and we're lacing up our shoes, we can be reminded of, well, who do I hate? In what great way was I offensive to God, but yet he overcame that offense to love me? Like every morning, you and I can be reset to even begin to deal with people that have done great harm. The gospel doesn't just bring peace between you and God, it brings peace between you and others. It's called a gospel of peace. It's not just called the gospel of peace with God. It's the gospel of peace, period. It's supposed to bring peace to the inside of us. It's supposed to bring peace to our relationships, and it's supposed to be a peace between us and our Father in heaven. If we apply the gospel, church, it heals, it repairs, it gives hope in all of our relationships. The gospel gives us a spiritual athleticism. It gives us a mobility every day to stay agile to the things that are coming at us. Like later on tonight, hopefully it's not a losing scenario, right? But you tonight, I hope, can't get the image out of my head of Lamar Jackson defying gravity. Like, I'm prayerful that it's not Josh Allen that defies gravity, that it's our Lamar Jackson. But here's the thing. I hope that from now on, you can't help but think, how agile am I in my faith? When you're watching the sheer athleticism of a true athlete, and you're sitting here thinking, what kind of testimony is it of me? Maybe you need to learn through putting on your shoes every day that you have an agility offered to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ applied to you. As soon as you and I realize what God has done, as soon as you and I let it really take root, the amount of love that came down for us, the amount of forgiveness that came down on us, peace. As soon as you and I realize what God has done, as soon as you and I realize the amount of love that has come down to us, as soon as you and I realize the amount of forgiveness that has come to us, peace. Some of you today may not have ever placed your trust in Jesus, and I just want to give you that opportunity today. I'm not sure all of your spiritual situations. I know many of you, and I'm guessing that the majority of you would say that you have a relationship through God, with God through Jesus Christ. But if you find yourself today wondering if Jesus is truly Lord, a simple prayer like this: Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your life for mine. Thank you for giving up everything and taking all my sin on yourself so that I could be found righteous. Lord Jesus, I'm yours. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. And thank you for saving me from me. For the rest of us in the app, I don't know if we have it on the slides for us, we have the Armor of God prayer. And as the worship team comes up, I'd like for the rest of us to go through this together. If you feel comfortable, say it aloud with me. If not, I'd like for you just to pray this prayer. Let it wash over you. But here's the prayer. Lord Jesus, I now follow your command to put on the full armor of God, because I know that my battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the unseen world. Thank you that you have made it possible for me to be strong in your mighty power and to stand against all the evil one would throw against me this day. In Jesus' name, I put on the belt of truth and pray that I may be centered in the encircled by your truth today. By your power, enable me to walk in your truth and to give no place to deception or the lies of the enemy. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. I praise you, Lord Jesus, that I am covered with your righteousness today in my body, soul, and spirit. I now pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, my life would show forth the righteous fruit of your presence. Guard my heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Strengthen and protect the most vulnerable places in my life with that which is right, good, and noble, so I might not receive a fatal blow from the enemy. I put on the shoes of peace. I choose to stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the good news of his amazing grace. In Jesus' name, I claim over my heart and mind the peace of God that transcends all understanding. I cast down every anxious thought today, and as I walk in the gospel of peace, I pray that you would make me ready to share your good news with others. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for equipping me with everything I need to win my battles this day. I praise you that I am protected today by the armor of God. I now claim your promise that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. As we get ready to come to the Lord's table, I want to ask that as we come to the table, we use this time to remember the gospel to us. That Jesus loved us so much that he allowed his body to be broken. He allowed his blood to be poured out for us. Not just so that it could stay with us because it's meant to be offered to others. But today we need to remember that he's God and we're not. We have a loving father that can be trusted. And many times our choice is not to trust. Our choice is to think that he's not loving. But he is, and every single day we need to be reminded of what is true and how great his love is for us. So we're going to stand and sing. And when you're ready, I want you to come to the table. I want you to take the bread and hold it up to one another, his body broken, dip it in the cup, say to one another, his blood poured out for you. And let's do that in remembrance of him, because Christ has died and Christ has risen. And thank the Lord, Christ is coming back. Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.